So we're going to hear from a number of different people this morning, and but I just wanted to start off by just doing a little bit of the why behind why we think FCT and the work that we do in partnership with FCT is important. Now, hopefully this won't be news to you, because I do talk about it quite a bit, but it is important for us to know how we feel it is grounded in what we think God is calling to us as a church. So I'm just going to, for 5 minutes, you heard me. Is anyone else a bit hot in here today? You notice the new heater. Yes. Oh, yes. Don't say we don't spoil you. Yeah, I just want to spend for 5 minutes just talking through some of the reasons why. And I'm just going to, there's just one slide, Ollie, if you could pop it up, please, which just goes through a few points I just want to make before we then hear from our wonderful FCT friends. Okay, you know that as a church, we talk about being healthy disciples who transform community. That's what we're about. That's our broad headline. We want to be healthy disciples who are in partnership with God, through the grace of God, we get to be people who transform community. And we go together, we go with Jesus, and we make lives better. Now, I just want to go through those 5 points as reasons why I think the work that we do with FCT is grounded biblically in what we do. And so, first one, Jesus' mission is holistic. If we remember back to Jesus in the temple, Luke 4, verses 18 to 19, I'm just going to read these words to you. Jesus stands up at the beginning of his ministry, and this is his mandate that he gives to people and says, this is what I'm about, basically. This is who I am. This is what I'm going to be doing. This is what I'm going to be involved in. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. See, in that moment, Jesus stands up and he says, the gospel is not only about souls, it is absolutely about that, but it's about our whole lives. It's forgiveness and freedom. It's salvation and restoration. It's reconciliation with God and renewal of communities. That's point one. That was Jesus' mandate. And when he says, go and do likewise, in the way that the Father has sent me, so I send you, that's what we're called to do as well. We're called with that mandate of Jesus in Luke 4, to be those people who are anointed. We seek God, we seek his Holy Spirit to anoint us. That's why we worship and we come into his presence. We're people who want to be good news to the poor. Not just speak it, to be good news to the poor. To proclaim freedom for prisoners. And prisoners can be all sorts of people who are held in bondage by different things. To set people free. Recovery of sight for the blind. We believe in a God who brings healing. Physical healing to people, and we pray for that. We have prayer ministry team to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to proclaim that God is with us now. He didn't stay distant, and very soon we're coming to Advent, aren't we? 2 weeks' time, it's Advent. I know. And we will be proclaiming the truth of a God who came close. That's who we worship, who moves into the neighborhood to be with us. So that is our mandate. The mandate of Jesus is our mandate. Number two, he dealt with poverty. And hopefully you've heard me say this, that when we talk about poverty, I'm very informed by my travels with Tearfund and our partnership as a church with Tearfund. And Tearfund talk about poverty as being economic, relational, and spiritual. And I don't want to go into too much depth there, but poverty is a broad term. There is economic poverty, which is like physical poverty. And that's often what we think of first when we talk about poverty. But there's relational poverty as well, a lack of belonging, an epidemic of loneliness. And there is spiritual poverty. And you know, you'll have seen probably in a lot of the articles around recently when they talk about the quiet revival, that people are recognizing this spiritual poverty with them and they're looking for answers. And people walking into churches, we had a family come into the church last week who were saying they were just been away from church for a long time, but they just wanted to be in a place where they could worship God and they could connect again with God. And I'm praying that more people will find us and the many great churches within Sheffield and find this as a place where they can explore that spiritual poverty, that longing that people have to belong and to know God. Think about how Jesus met needs and met those three different types of poverty. He didn't just meet needs, he meets people, he meets whole people. That's why we talk about the gospel that we proclaim being a holistic gospel. It's the fullness of the gospel that we proclaim. Just a couple of examples. Zacchaeus experiences economic transformation as well as relational transformation. The woman at the well experiences relational restoration and spiritual restoration. The demon-possessed man experiences spiritual freedom. Jesus dealt with all the different types of poverty, and so do we. We go after those three things. Three, the church is called to be transformed and to be transforming. Acts 2:42 to 47 tells us about the early church. The early church didn't separate worship and justice. They prayed and they shared. They worshipped and they opened up their homes. They broke bread and they made sure no one was in need. Their devotion to Jesus overflowed into radical generosity and hospitality. And that is what caused the city to take notice. You know, when we talk about being a blessing to the city, work for the peace and prosperity of the city, then we're talking about these things. Radical hospitality, blessing people. We want the city to take notice because they see the things of heaven present in our church. And we want people to take notice because of that, because they see the things of heaven in and through what we do. Our social action isn't something we bolt onto church life that a few of us do. It is who we are. It's an expression of who we're becoming, a people shaped by the love of Jesus and living for the good of Sheffield. Four, it is about discipleship and not just service. There's always a danger, isn't there? And I talk about this a lot when I teach on this in mission and evangelism, that there's a danger that people say, well, you're either a social gospel church or you're a church that brings people to know Jesus. Either are inadequate. The fullness of the gospel is both. And the sum of the two parts is so much greater than the individual parts together. And so we are a church that goes after social transformation, social gospel, but also we're about discipleship and not just service. We want to be a place that makes healthy disciples who get introduced to Jesus and who have the opportunity to learn more about him. And one of the phrases that I've been using is we want to be a seven-day-a-week serving church, not a one-day-a-week service church. Social action is not a project, it is discipleship in public. That's why we're going to tell stories. Ordinary people following Jesus in ordinary places, becoming signs of hope. And lastly, in Sheffield as in heaven. Hopefully you've already heard this in what I've said. We do this because we believe that Jesus is still healing lives today. Still healing lives today. He's still lifting burdens and restoring dignity and hope. It's not one thing in the, you know, pie in the sky until you die, that phrase. You know that we are called to be an expression of the things of heaven on earth now. In Sheffield, as in heaven. The Lord's Prayer, we pray that, don't we? On earth as in heaven, in Sheffield as in heaven. We want to see glimpses of the kingdom of God on earth in Sheffield now. So, and you've heard me say this before, but I want this to be kind of key to who we are. Is there poverty in heaven? No. Is there debt in heaven? No. Are there hungry people in heaven? No. Is there relational poverty in heaven? No. So when we pray on earth as in heaven, we're praying the lack of those things, the end of those things on earth now. We become this foretaste of what will one day be fully realized in heaven. So when we're going after end of poverty, end of relational poverty, end of spiritual poverty, we're being a sign of heaven, of the kingdom of God. that will one day be fully realized. That's why we do what we do. And hopefully in that process, people go, oh, I want a bit of that. You know, it's a bit like, Michael Frost often talks about being the trailers to the big film. You know, when you go and see a film in a cinema and you go, this film looks good, this trailer. You know, when you watch the trailer, they don't always look good, but you sometimes see a trailer, don't you? You go, oh, I want to see that when it comes out. I want to watch that film. Well, we're a bit like that. We want to be the trailers to the film. When people see us, they go, I want to see that. I want to see the fullness of that. We're the trailer to the film of the kingdom of God. So that's what we're about, in Sheffield as in heaven. And with that, I am now going to hand over. Sam, we miss you. It's good to see you.
It's really good to be here. For those that don't know me, my name's Sam. I lead Food and Community Trust. For those that do know me, Mark asked if I was having a senile moment coming here. And I would assure you that I have definitely arrived here thinking I was coming to work on more than one occasion. So thank you, Mark, for that. Basically, what I'm going to talk about very briefly is the journey we've been on over the last couple of years as we've launched Food and Community Trust and what we've done. But the first thing I want to say, and the thing that I want you to most get from what I'm going to say, is thank you. Thank you, NCS, and the people of NCS, for your support and for your donations and for your encouragement. You know, without that, we wouldn't have been able to do what we've done, and we wouldn't be able to support the amount of people we're supporting. Thank you for being the first off the block and effectively backing and encouraging us. And Anne said to me that you're praying for us all the time, otherwise we wouldn't manage to do it. And I think that's completely correct and apt. I think, you know, in partnership, we talk about kind of prayer, pounds, and partnership, and we've got all of those things from NCS and that support from NCS, and it's made it much easier to be able to step out and do some of the things we're doing across the country. So thank you for that. Give yourselves a pat on the back. The second thing I want to talk about is the work we're doing in Sheffield. So we're still very much focused in Sheffield. We're still very much focused in seeing people come to faith, seeing people be discipled in Sheffield. I'm not going to talk about that too much, because otherwise Chris and Jane will have nothing to say and then they'll tease me for the next week. But we're still doing youth clubs in Sheffield. We're still working alongside churches. We're very much involved in Zach's Plant up in Shire Green and mission into Shire Green. We're still running 13 food banks across the city, and we're still seeing people come out of debt and seeing that breakthrough on a weekly basis every day. But I think the thing that I've been told to talk about is our national work and our supply chain work, which is the thing that I seem to spend a lot of my life talking about. So I'm going to talk to you about the technical points of supply into Ecuador. So basically, the challenge we see with food banks and food charities, many of whom, the majority of whom are Christians, many of them are working in churches. So if you think about a smaller food bank than we have in Sheffield, run by a couple of local volunteers, traditionally they've been able to operate perhaps in a poorer area of the country with mainly donations and just popping to the local supermarket to purchase some food. I think over the pandemic and the cost of living crisis and some of the difficulties over the last 5 years, that model of local communities supporting local communities has become more stretched and challenged. I think there's a PowerPoint with a map of the UK, in case people don't know what that looks like. Is there? Cheers, pal. And so we've got 157 partners across the UK that are like that, that are struggling with that supply. And so what we have done is we've worked with manufacturers, with importers, with certain other kind of companies across the country globally, really, to bring in that food and to do it in a way that's more sustainable and that takes some of the complexity out of that and enables those partners to feed more people and to focus on their communities and loving and serving the people in their communities. And so that's our spread today. This has grown in about the last 18 months through the work that we've done. We weren't doing any of, we had one other partner site, I think, or two other partner sites when we launched FCT out of NCS a couple of years ago. So that's the kind of growth. We're feeding 10,000 people roughly a week. In the last 3 months, we've done over 2 million meals to people in need. And I guess to try and link it back to how we've gone from where we were to where we are, does anyone remember, and it might be coming back about 5 or 10 years, the Christmas hampers we used to do in house groups? So we're still doing those sorts of things, but tomorrow I think we are working with two churches in East Anglia to do about approaching 3,000 Christmas hampers. So we've worked with Cadbury's and some bakers and so on to get hold of the products for those Christmas hampers at a much more manageable, much lower price, and to run them into East Anglia in partnership with those churches. They call them bags of hope there, to provide them to families in that community and to bring those families into church at that time. So that's a kind of example of how we're working alongside churches to kind of deliver that work at a scale. And the other thing I wanted to do is to kind of talk about why prayer is important in supply chain and how it's rooted in supply chain. So you will see three little dots in Northern Ireland if you've got really good eyesight or binoculars. And I think we're the only charity, I think we're probably the only charity that's supplying into Northern Ireland. So there's three churches in Northern Ireland that basically were having a struggle with supply after the Windsor framework, which is the kind of arrangement to moving stuff off the mainland. So there's a real supply problem over there. I'm naive, so I was like, oh, we'll do it. So we basically agreed to supply these partners over in Northern Ireland, and we had to put Not For EU stickers on everything, and we organised to get all the stuff together, and we had the load basically on the Scottish coast, and it had to go through port with 20 minutes left, and we'd filled in all the tariffs and all the paperwork weeks ago, but it's always at that moment that something goes wrong. If anyone's ever run this stuff, it's always when God pushes you right to the edge on your faith. So we're at the port, I think there was 10 minutes left before we had to clear port, otherwise you couldn't get on the load. All these partners, it was just before the summer holidays, were expecting their products so they could feed their communities over the summer holidays. It was a lot of kids holiday hunger stuff, and the customs people said, oh, actually you need to pay a particular tariff. It's £8,000. If you don't pay the tariff, we can't clear customs. By this point, it was the evening, and I was supposed to be in the gym, and I came into Nick, and I said, well, there's my wife's Nikki, if people don't know. I said, we've got a little hoo-ha, because we've got an £8,000 tariff that wasn't in the budget, and, it destroys the entire project. And Nick's like, well, we just need to pray. And I'm like, yeah, cool, you pray. I'll panic. Anyway... So there's a bit of discussion about this tariff, and it goes on, and the clock's going down, and we're about down to like 8 minutes, and I'm like, okay, cool, Jesus, if you want to do something, now would be a really good time. And then the customs guy goes, oh, actually, we've made a mistake. It's a £20 tariff. It is, but you need to pay it in the next like 6 minutes. And you're thinking, and I was convinced there was no tariff, but at that point I'm like, okay, we'll take the win. So that's an example of, and we see it all the time. I won't bore you with like corned beef stories and so on, but basically we see God come through right on the edge. You know, you do all the clever things, you do all the stewardship, you step out in faith, and then God basically honours that right on the last minute consistently. And I think, you know, you guys who are praying for us and supporting us can take some a part of that story and part of that journey. So thank you. I think I'm handing over to Chris now. Is that right? Have I said everything that I was supposed to say? Good. Chris.
Hey, up. All right. So my part of this is to speak to you about Forge Youth. So some of you guys will be really familiar with what that is. Others of you may not be. Forge Youth, we work with young people. And so what we want to do is build safe communities for young people and to be able to create disciples, but also to enable us to empower young people to make really good choices for their lives. And so the different ways that we are able to do that are kind of getting that contact with young people. So one is Sheffield Christian Youth League. So Friday night, a football league for young people. 150 young people are there each week, including this Friday. I don't know if anyone was out and about in the weather on this Friday night, but it was horrendous. And I don't think I'm dry yet, but Joe was out, Phil was out, Isaac Weston, Chad was out. All these guys give me a hand when it's absolutely bucketing down in rain. So there's that on a Friday night. And then Shire Green as well. Yes, Highland's loving that. So in Shire Green, we're a partner of the church at St. James and St. Christopher's. So we've been doing work in that community for a long time. And there's been wonderful, wonderful people living there. But at this moment in time, we've always been wanting a church partner to partner with, to have a pathway for young people. And at this time, there's a moment in time now where we're able to have that. And so I know that there's people that are part of this church that have joined that church. And that journey is hard and it's actually painful. But actually, you guys are part of this journey. And there's an exciting moment now where we've got young people we've been working with for ages, a church partner, and I'm really excited for what's going to be happening. And that's a journey that all of you guys are part of. And just on that as well, I was just thinking while I was sitting down, it's probably about 10 years ago to around about now that you guys prayed for me and Dan and everyone to go to Wadsley Church, 10 years, which is absolutely balmy that that's been 10 years. And just really grateful for the story of this church. This is the church where you helped me come back to faith. This is a church that has seen things in me that I've not been able to see. This is the church that has prayed for me and sent me out. So I'm always really grateful. And again, it's with St. James and St. Christopher's, with Zach heading over there and the team, it's another part of that journey that's exciting. So we've got in Shire Green, there's the two youth clubs, one kids club and a football session. We're also running mentoring programs in two schools, including in the Shire Green community. We went on three residentials in the last year. So we joined with you guys as part of this. So one youth weekend away, DTI, and then a kids weekend away with Sam as well, where we're joining with what's going on. And the guys that have been there have some really significant encounters with God on those weekends. And so I'm really grateful for you guys being part of that story and part of that journey. So please keep praying for us, because I think we're in an exciting moment of time where God's going to do increasingly more. Thank you.
So I'm Jane. It's so wonderful to have this opportunity for us little crew to share a few stories with you, so thank you. I'm part of this church and I'm also part of FCT, so I get the best of both worlds. And I'm going to just share some stories this morning of things that are happening in Sheffield through the local church in Sheffield working together with Food and Community Trust. And as we've said, our vision is to ensure that people don't face hunger in our city, that debt is reduced, that people don't have to live with crippling debt, and that a community is built and people are welcomed into it. In fact, it says it on the back of our shirts. And I ironed it for the first time this morning. So I just want to say that God really is doing amazing things in Sheffield. He really is moving. I had a great phone call this week. One of our debt coaches called me up and said, Jane, I've just got to tell you something. I said, okay, yeah, fine, I'm listening. She said, you know that guy that I've been supporting with debt for the last few months at Food Bank? And you know, I was really, really apprehensive about praying for him because he just looked really aggressive, a bit very resistant, didn't want support, but a bit hard-hearted. Well, you'll never guess what happened. I met with him yesterday, she said, And before I could even start the appointment to go through his debt solution, he said to me, "You are going to pray for me today, aren't you?" And she said, yeah, no, of course I am. Yeah, you know, I pray for you every time, of course I am. He goes, great, because I want to give it a go. I'm going to pray for you. It's the first time I've ever prayed and I want to pray with you. And she just rang me up and she was just absolutely overjoyed. And one of the reasons why I love that story, because it's an example of somebody being discipled in a really hard place before they've said the big yes to Jesus, but certainly seeking him. And Sam and Chris have talked about prayer. There is a small group of very faithful prayers, and you know who you are in the room, who meet every Friday morning to pray. And one of the prayers that we've been praying consistently is that God would come and prepare the hearts, the soils, the hearts of people to hear his good news. And that he would embolden us and equip us as a body of people to be that good news, however may is appropriate in that situation. And that story is fruit from that faithful praying, and I'm just so, so grateful to God. I'm going to share some facts and figures that just really give a picture of how people are being supported practically in Sheffield, how God is moving through the church and FCT to enable this to happen. I'm not going to get distracted by the slides because they've actually changed since they were written, because it's changing all the time. But anyway, We feed every week 1,200 people in Sheffield. That's through our 13 food bank sessions. And we're able to do that because we partner with 7 churches formally to deliver those sessions. And also because of the work of Sam and Bethany and Chris and the team about getting a really regular, reliable source of food. Because they do all that, then we can go and meet the people. We've got the easy part. They've got the hard part. But because they do that, that means that we can feed people, and that accounts for 25,000 meals every single week. And of those 1,200 people who are fed, a third of those are children. We have this year, and again the figure is wrong because it says 47 on the slide, but it's actually 48. On Friday another person became debt free, so 48 adults have become debt free this year so far, and that accounts for £750,000 almost, and it's impacted the lives of 27 children. So those families not having to live each day or try to live each day with that crippling burden of debt, and they're being released into greater freedom. We've also seen 7 people this year get jobs. Now that might not sound like very impressive, but you have to see that a lot of the people who are coming into Food Bank are so far removed from the marketplace. Those 7 people, their lives transformed because of that opportunity. So it's just really quite miraculous, really. I love how the work also shows how the church and Food and Community Trust have worked together to bring greater unity. In our debt team alone, through the volunteers and the staff, over 20 churches in Sheffield are represented in that team. I mean, that just blows my mind. I mean, that is unity in action in our city. And I'm, again, so grateful to God. I'm getting distracted by my notes. I should just trust myself. Anyway. 2 weeks ago, Mike shared, I was going to say one good thing. He said many good things. But the one good thing that really, touched my heart, and I think it was called With Us in the Darkness. That was the title. And he said, Jesus sits with us in our darkness. So when we face challenges, he comes and sits with us. And then he calls us to then go and sit with others in their darkness. And he shared this morning about the mandate, and our mandate to be the good news, to set the captives free, to comfort the brokenhearted, to stand up for the oppressed. And I can tell you that all of that happens here in this very building every Tuesday and Friday at Food Bank and at Connect Cafe on a Thursday. over 60 beneficiaries come into this building. Now that just blows my mind, because for how many years have we prayed, Lord, send the people? Well, I'm telling you, he's sending them and they're coming into the building. Most people have never come into a church before. They're coming. And people are coming with their struggles, that darkness, that despair. Many are coming with chronic mental health issues or physical health issues. Some are fleeing domestic abuse. Others are crippled by debt. And the amazing thing is that they step through the door, but then they're met by a faithful crew of committed volunteers with faith, following Jesus, and some not. And that is amazing in itself. We've seen some incredible, we've heard some really amazing stories about volunteers coming to faith. We've had a couple come to faith this year. We've got another handful of volunteers who've started attending church because they're interested and they're seeking. And there's many, many handfuls who are engaging with the prayer time and reflection before our food bank sessions. And that in itself is just wonderful. And these volunteers together over here meet these 60 beneficiaries coming in, and they sit with them. They just sit with them. And they listen, they remove the shame, they remove the stigma of having to ask for help, and they just communicate acceptance and love and give value and worth to every person. And then they start to build trust with the people who are coming in. And as they build trust, then they're able to offer that practical support. But I'm not going to say anything more, because I could tell you lots about what happens in Food Bank. And it was great to meet Ollie this morning. He said, I mean, I don't know whether I should say this, but he said that being at Food Bank was the best part of his internship. But anyway, but I'm sure he loves the other bits as well, Highland. Oh, goodness, I said the wrong thing. Anyway, I'm not going to say anything else. I'm inviting Karen up, because I could tell you, like I say, what happens at Food Bank, but Karen has kindly offered to share with us her experience of Food Bank and how it's impacted her life. So thank you, Karen. We'll have to do a bit of this, I think, unless there's another mic. Oh yeah, we've done it a few times. We can do it. So Karen, you're from Sheffield. Can you just tell us a little bit? Okay, great. That's amazing. Thank you. So can you? I know that life has been a little bit tough. And just tell us a little bit about how you came to Food Bank. And if you put your microphone on. Yeah? Oh, sorry.
I came to Food Bank through a community psychiatric nurse. I was on the verge of committing suicide. My depression was low. I'd been in a abusive relationship. Had to leave, which led me into loads of debt. I was scared when she said that she'd put me through for a food parcel because I got no food. And going through them doors for the first time is very odd, because you think you're going to be judged, but can I tell you, you're not. I was so surprised. I was shown to a table. I was sat down, offered a cup of tea or coffee, which that always gets me. I was asked, we talked, and then I was asked, can I ask you why you're here? And I just, don't know why, but I just pulled out all my story. And the gentleman said, well, do you want help in getting out of debt? And I said, why, are you going to pay for it? He says, no. I said, oh, shame. They put me in touch with CAP. And since then, my life has been totally different. My mental health has improved. My confidence has improved. I'm out of debt, and I've been out of debt now for about a year. And it's amazing, absolutely amazing. I've been able to take my granddaughter to Cleethorpes for a day through budgeting. I also come to Connect Cafe on a Thursday, which is free tea, coffee, crumpets and toast.
Can I just ask, who else do you ask to Connect Cafe?
Taxi drivers. Because I think if they're wanting a cuppa and they don't want to pay for it, they can come and have a natter with us. So, yeah, because I get a taxi on a Thursday to here. So I invite them in, but up to now, they've not bothered. But they will. They will, back time I've done. And it's... When I was sorting my debt out, I was asked if I'd like to be prayed for. I used to go to church when we were younger, and then I lost my way. And I said, yeah, go on then, I'll pray. And I went, oh, goosebumpy. After that, I started, because I don't come in this church much, I go to Streetwise. And I've started about a year ago now, I've been coming to church. Yes, it's on and off, because we all can't come every Sunday, because of illness and what have you. And I've now got friends where, because of me moving, I also found my friends that I had before church weren't real friends. They pretended to be friends. They were like sheep's clothing. But the friendships that I've made since I've been coming to church are amazing. They know when I'm ill, and I get prayers, and they know I will join in anything. I now volunteer food bank on Tuesdays and Fridays. I also help doing budgeting courses, which is important, because if you're out of debt, you don't know how you've budgeted before, so we're learning you now, which is brilliant. And yeah, I'm in a happy place at last.
And you're part of a community as well at church,
yes,
as well.
That, yeah. At bottom, feeding people, well, the food bank fed me, reducing debt, CAP got me out of debt, building a community is what I've achieved since coming to church. So that is written truth.
Karen, I had a load of questions for Karen, but I don't need to. She's amazing.
You never do.
So, Karen, seriously, thank you so much for yet again sharing your story. And if I do have one question, actually. If you were to... is there anything you want to say to people who might volunteer with Food and Community Trust?
Do it.
Who support us and pray for us? What would you like to say to them?
Do it.
So keep doing it.
Keep doing it.
Okay, that's fine. Mike, coming up.
That's all you can say. Keep doing it.
Thank you. Thank you. That's so great. Thank you. We're going to. We're going to pray, and we're going to pray for FCT particularly, and there are some points that are going to come on the screen that Jane's prepared for us to pray. Just before we pray, I hope you see why this is an important part of what we do as a church. I know that many people in this church are part of supporting and partnering with FCT and doing this work. I also recognise that not everyone can come along to Food Bank, you know, or to Connect Cafe because they're doing other things in their day, and that's absolutely fine. But the prayer is important. The financial support that is possible to give to FCT is also possible as well. So all the different ways that you and I can support FCT, let's just really dig into that and lean into that as much as we can. But if you are free on a Tuesday or a Friday or a Thursday, please do chat to me or anyone with a lanyard or to Jane, and we would love to chat to you about how you can become involved. So let's pray. You can see these points up on the screen that we've got on the slide. Pray for God's presence and provision for Food and Community Trust. that were led and resourced by the Father. Pray that through FCT's work and partnerships with churches, people are welcomed into community, supported practically, and come to faith. And pray that our food supply partnership reaches every UK food bank in need of a dependable food source. And I would say as well, let's pray in our prayers, let's pray for the team at FCT. There's a great team that are there, and you've met some of them this morning, but many of you know the other people, like Chris Hardy, who works in the warehouse, who I'm going to miss people. That was a mistake to start talking about people. But there's a great team there, and there's a board. I'm still a trustee, a board member for FCT Trust, and there's a board of trustees as well. Pray for them, pray for us. Plenty to go with there. Let's turn to each other. Let's just spend time, 2 or 3 minutes, praying. If you'd prefer to pray on your own, that's absolutely fine. But this is a good opportunity to say hello to the person next to you and just pray into those things.